الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، we continue with the تفسير of سورة آل عمران. سورة آل عمران. And by Allah's grace and His mercy, we had covered thus far 14 آيات. عليكم السلام. Approximately 14 آيات. In fact, 15, and we did not finish the tafsir of the 15th ayah. We left off at the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. And Allah sees all that which His slaves do. He sees His slaves, that meaning He sees them and everything that they do. Wonderful, wonderful sound effects. So the Shaykh says, فَيَسَّرَ كُلًّا مِّنْهُمْ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ أَمَّا أَهْلُ السَّعَادَةِ فَيُيَسِّرُهُمْ لِلْعَمَلِ لِهَذِهِ الدَّارِ الْبَاقِيَةِ وَيَأْخُذُونَ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا مَا يُعِينُهُمْ عَلَى عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ وَطَاعَتِهِ. So Allah facilitates for each group of His creation that which they were created for. As for the people of content and happiness and bliss, then Allah will facilitate for them the acquiring of the deeds for the life to come, for the eternal life to come. And they take, wa alaykum salam, and they take from this dunya that which enables them to worship Allah and establish servitude to Him. You with me? Those who are meant to be among the happy believers in the life to come, Allah Azza wa Jal facilitates for them the acquiring of good deeds, and from the dunya, they use whatever is there in the dunya for what purpose? For entertainment purposes? Not necessarily. But in order to help them worship Allah and establish servitude to Him. وَأَمَّا أَهْلُ الشَّقَاوَةِ وَالْعِرَاضِ وَالْعِيَاذِ بِاللَّهِ فَيُقَيِّدُهُمْ لِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الشَّقَاوَةِ وَيَرْضَوْنَ بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَطْمَئِنُّونَ بِهَا وَيَتَّخِذُونَهَا قَرَارًا. As for the people of wretchedness and those who turn away, then Allah will bind them with the deeds of the people of destruction and the people of wretchedness. And they furthermore become satisfied with the life of this world, and they are yatma'innun, they find peace and tranquility in the dunya, not in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَتَّخِذُونَهَا قَرَارًا. Further, they take this worldly life as their firm accommodation. Some qarar yastaqir al-shay, something that is relaxed, doesn't want to move around. You know, when you do istiqrar, we call it in English settling down. When you move from one country to another, from one city to another, you go through a stage of settling down. He's settling down. This is called yastaqir, to find comfort in the place where you are. And the people who are doomed to be destroyed, one of their main characteristics is that they find their comfort, their rest in this life of this world. Basically, they have no preparation for the life to come. They lack preparation for the life to come. We ask Allah not to make us among them. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Then, ayah number 16 and 17. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. الذين يقولون ربنا إننا آمنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وقنا عذاب النار الصابرين والصادقين والقانتين والمنفقين والمستغفرين بالأسحار. Okay, I will read it. Oof, I didn't turn off the mic. Somebody else read it, please. Verses 16 and 17.
Those who say, our Lord, we have indeed believed, so forgive us our sins and save us from the punishment of fire. They are those who are patient, those who are true in faith, and obedience with sincere devotion and worship to Allah. Those who spend zakah, alms, in the way of Allah, and those who pray and beg Allah's pardon in the last hours of the night.
Barakallahu fiqh. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله أي هؤلاء الراسخون في العلم أهل العلم والإيمان يتوسلون إلى ربهم بإيمانهم لمغفرة ذنوبهم ووقايتهم عذاب النار. Now if you remember in our previous session we were discussing the fact that all that which is being mentioned now are actually the statements which are made by who? Those who are راسخون في العلم, those who are well grounded in knowledge, those who are firm in knowledge. And among their statements was that we believe in everything in the Quran, right? المحكم والمتشابه, the entirely clear and the ambiguous. Among the qualities that they say, ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا, our Lord, do not cause our hearts to deviate after you have guided us aright. And among their statements as well is that they say, our Lord, we have believed, so forgive us our sin and protect us from the torment of the hellfire. The Shaykh said, those firm in knowledge, from the people of knowledge and Iman, the people of faith, they beg Allah through their Iman for the forgiveness of their sins and the protection from the hellfire. So they beg Allah through what? Their righteous deeds. And this is a sunnah. This is a sunnah. You don't beg Allah through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's shirk. If you say, oh Allah, through your messenger and his status with you, forgive me my sins. No. But rather you beg Allah with your good deeds. And the evidence for that is the famous story of the three individuals from Bani Israel who were stuck, who went into a cave, and then a stone or a rock rolled and closed the entrance or the exit in this case. And of course they will remain inside, and they said the only way we'll be saved is by begging Allah through our good deeds. So one of them had mentioned that he had parents which he was very dutiful to, and one day he was late in bringing them the milk, so his parents fell asleep, and so he stood by his parents. His children were begging him, you know, they're making noise under him to give him some milk. His habit was that he would never provide milk for his family unless his parents got it first. He went there, they were asleep. He remained standing there from the time he got the milk until Fajr. Neither did he give his children their share, nor did he wake up his parents. He's so dutiful that he stayed standing there with the milk all night. And his children are nagging, begging him, we want milk? Once his parents woke up, then he gave them their milk and everything went back to normal. Now that's dutifulness. Don't ask about our condition with our parents, wallahu musta'an. That was the first one. The second one was one who was in love with his cousin. He was in love with her, and he had always tried to, you know, have relations with her, and she used to refuse. Until such time when she was in dire need of money, she came asking him for money. He said, I will not give you money unless you allow me to have a relation with you. And because of the need and the dire need she was in, she agreed. And finally when he placed himself the way a man places himself before his wife, you know, at that stage, she told him, fear Allah and do not ruin my virginity except with its due right, meaning through marriage. So because of her statement, it was like a wake-up call for him. He got off her, he gave her the money, and he left her alone for the sake of Allah. Even though at that point it's difficult for the man. But he did this for the sake of Allah. And the last one is the one who had hired an employee. Tell this to the kufala today. He hired an employee who had worked for him. Then he went before he paid him his due. So with that money, which he was supposed to give to the employee who never picked it up, he started using it to grow more business, and he did grow a lot of business. Walaikum salam. Eventually the employee came and said, give me my money. He said, you see this valley of sheep and goats and everything? So they said, it's all yours. So you playing games with me? He said, no. This is what I did with your part of wealth. I invested into business. it grew to this point, this is all yours. So again, he did this for the sake of Allah. Hello. Because of that, and every time one of them would mention that dua of his, oh Allah, if I have done so, seeking your pleasure, then let the stone or the rock move away. And it moved away a little bit, then a second time, then the third time it moved, so they were able to get out. This hadith is a principle for us, that you are allowed, rather it is recommended that you beg Allah through your good deeds. And it is recommended that you add, that you don't make it sound like you are doing Allah a favor. Rather, you still make it sound that Allah has a favor upon you. For instance, you say, oh Allah, by the fact that I don't miss a salah in the first row, which is a blessing you have bestowed upon me, forgive me my sins and permit me to paradise. Oh Allah, by the fact that I am dutiful to my parents, through the success you granted me, allow me to get such and such and such. You see? So just so it will not sound like, you know, we are very special. Because at the end of the day, no one is able to obey Allah unless Allah facilitates obedience. That's just the way it is. So that's, you know, that's the sunnah. And so that's what is intended here. These people of knowledge. وَهَذِهِ مِنَ الْوَسَائِلَ الَّتِي يُحِبُّهَا اللَّهُ أَنْ يَتَوَسَّلَ الْعَبْدُ إِلَى رَبِّهِ بِمَا مَنَّ بِهِ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَالْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ إِلَى تَكْمِيلِ نِعَمِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ بِحُصُولِ الثَّوَابِ الْكَامِلِ وَاندِفَاعِ الْعِقَابِ. And these are among the means which Allah loves, that a slave of his will beg him through what Allah has bestowed on him of iman and righteous deeds, with which the favors of Allah are completed upon him, he gets the good reward and the punishment is moved away from him. ثُمَّ وَصَفَهُمْ بِأَجْمَلِ الصِّفَاتِ. Then in ayah number 17, Allah described them with the most beautiful attributes, the most beautiful qualities. بِالصَّبْرِ الَّذِي هُوَ حَبْسُ النُّفُوسِ عَلَى مَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ طَلَبًا لِمَرْضَاتِهِ. First, Allah said, الصَّابِرِينَ. Right? Those who are patient. Those who are patient. The Shaykh defined patience by saying, it is holding back, preventing your desires from going out or manifesting, seeking Allah's pleasure and seeking Allah's pleasure. Preventing your soul from what it desires, from what it is inclined to, in order to attain Allah's pleasure. This is sabr, patience. يَصْبِرُونَ عَلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ وَيَصْبِرُونَ عَنْ مَعَصِيهِ وَيَصْبِرُونَ عَلَى أَقْدَارِهِ الْمُؤْلِمَةِ. They are patient on obedience to Allah, or they are patient in obedience to Allah. They are patient against disobeying Allah, and they are patient concerning Allah's painful decree. Alaykum salam. Allah's painful decree. Let me ask you a question now. Is the decree of Allah always satisfying to the son of Adam?
No.
Yes?
Always.
Always. Yeah, I mean, somebody, he gets the news that his child, his son dies. This is good news?
No.
Is this pleasing to us?
No.
No? Time out now, time out. I'm not speaking about how we react. I'm speaking about human nature. Human nature, something which doesn't suit you, you don't like it. Case closed. Can't lie. Can't lie. It doesn't mean that we express that displeasure. That's what sabr is. When, how do you exercise patience? When you want to become unhappy, when you want to complain, but you remain silent. Why? You're seeking the pleasure of Allah. Otherwise, if everything was suitable to you, what is patience for? You see what I'm saying? Oh, your house is burnt, yeah? Alhamdulillah. Barakallah, big brother. So let's go have some coffee. Wow. You know, what a brother. No. No. That's not human nature. That's crazy. When somebody tells you your house is burnt, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, la ilaha illallah. What happened? Right? Human nature. Now, patience is when you want to start complaining, oh Allah, why? Why did you do this to me? You know, I spent my whole life buying this, you know, building this house, blah blah. This is, hey. Now you need patience. basis is that you accept the decree of Allah even if it is painful. See what the Shaykh says? أَقْدَارُ اللَّهِ الْمُؤْلِمَةِ The decree of Allah which is painful. It is painful. When it doesn't suit you. You understand what I'm saying? So we need to leave with an understanding. Allah decrees things that are good. And Allah decrees things that are, everything is good. But to us, things are suitable and things that are not suitable. However, patience is that you treat both of them equally. Patience is that when it's suitable for you, you remain steadfast. You don't go to extreme and forget about Allah who gave you the blessing. And when you don't get when you get that which doesn't suit you, you don't lose hope in Iman in Allah and you turn away from His obedience. Patience is that you remain on a middle path. And this is life. Is that clear? Right. Now. وبالصدق بالأقوال والأحوال وهو استواء الظاهر والباطن الله المستعان وصدق العزيمة على سلوك الصراط المستقيم. The second quality Allah gave them is صدق, truthfulness. The Shaykh said, and that is truthfulness in the statements and in one's affairs, wherein the outer and the inner are equal. Meaning that which appears before the people and that which is hidden are equal. This is truthfulness. If we display something before the people and on our own we have something else, we're not truthful in the ultimate sense. Truthfulness is when you are the same. Whether people are present or people are absent, your relationship with Allah is sound and firm. It doesn't change with the environment. Because some people, al-iyadu billah, we ask Allah to pardon us and to guide us the straight path. When they are in an environment, you know, of many people, with many people around, they become super obedient. When they are left alone, everything is gone. So obedience becomes conditional to the environment. It is not sincere. It has to do with showing off, so on and so forth, gaining some reputation. You know, so it's very careful. Those Allah described in Surah Ali Imran, they are truthful. So what appears to the people and what is behind the scenes, they are sawa sawa. Right? Same sin, sawa sawa. You're the one who taught me this. May Allah guide you. Tayyib, same, sawa sawa. This is a common terminology. We can include it in our dars just for entertainment purposes. Furthermore, they have the true sincere conviction to travel upon a straight path. Yani, when it comes to being upright, they have no compromise. No compromise. They are sincere and have a strong conviction that I will remain on the path which will lead to paradise. They don't play with that. Some people play with that, depending on the worldly gain. If there's a worldly gain in being upright, they will become upright. If they may lose some worldly gain, they may not. Allah musta'an. Again, these are qualities which we may possess without even paying attention to ourselves. And once we have them, we ask Allah to purify us from these qualities. They're no good. They're no good. Allah musta'an. The Shaykh said, وبالقنوت الذي هو دوام الطاعة مع مصاحبة الخشوع والخضوع. Now, allow me to elaborate on the word qunut. Because we have two words in the Arabic language very, very close. Qunut and qunut. What's the difference between them? The first one is in ta. Ta. You know harf ta.
Yes.
Tayyib. You don't say tayyib. Tayyib, tayyib. You say tayyib. Ta. The second one is ta. How many ta we have? The second one is ta. Qunut. So qunut and qunut. Now the meanings are opposites, and both are in the Quran. Both are in the Quran. You must learn how to pronounce each one correctly. Because if in the context of the ayah of qunut, you say qunut, you have destroyed the meaning. Qunut is despair. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقَنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not despair from the mercy of Allah. قُنُوط with a ta. قُنُوط is being in the state of continuous submission to Allah. You see? One, you despair from Allah's mercy. You give up on Allah guiding you, Allah forgiving you, Allah permitting you to paradise. Qunut is where you have that strong, you know, powerful feeling of continuously obeying Allah. So now, when you hear them, make sure you try to hear. Did the speaker say qunut or qunuta? And this is from the benefits of qalqala in the tajweed. Because in the tajweed you have to say qunuta. And that ta makes it clear that it's a ta, not a ta. Whereas in the other one say qunut. So are we on the same page? Tight. Now here Allah is speaking about qunut or qunut. When He's describing the good people, is one of the qualities despairing from Allah's mercy? Qunut with a ta. Hey. The Shaykh said, الَّذِي هُوَ دَوَامُ الطَّاعَةِ مَعَ مُصَاحَبَةِ الْخُشُوعِ وَالْخُضُوعِ. Qunut is the continuity of obedience accompanied with submissiveness and submission. Wow, what a wonderful definition. The continuity of obedience to Allah accompanied with submissiveness and submission. This is qunut. And qunut is despairing from Allah's mercy. يقنط أي أن ييأس من رحمة الله. To despair, to lose hope. And Ibrahim had advised, or Yaqub had advised his children that none does so except the kafirin. No Muslim should ever despair from Allah's mercy. Inshallah, you've committed a million, billion sins. If you repent to Allah, Allah shall accept your repentance and guide you as if nothing happened. Never feel that you've done too much. But we must do tawbah. When do we get tricked by the shaitan? Where we say, okay, I can continue to disobey Allah, and then I will do tawbah. However, death comes before that happens. And that is, you know, that will backfire, for sure. What Shaykh said was, in the continuation of بِالنَّفَقَاتِ فِي سُبُلِ الْخَيْرَاتِ وَعَلَى الْفُقَرَاءِ وَأَهْلِ الْحَاجَاتِ. The third quality, so far, let's repeat them. They have sabr. They have sidq, they have patience, they have truthfulness, they have qunut, right? Continuous submission to Allah. And fourthly, munfiqeen, those who spend. The Shaykh said, those who spend in all ways of good upon the poor and the people of need. And the last quality, istighfar, they seek Allah's forgiveness. خصوصاً وقت الأسحار, specifically at the pre-dawn time. Pre-dawn, which is that the last say hour before the time of Fajr. This is the last third of the night. I mean, or maybe even longer than that. But at that time, they are engaged with forgiveness. They are engaged in forgiveness, asking Allah Azza wa Jalla and begging Him to forgive them. فَأَنَّهُمْ مَدُّوا الصَّلَاةِ إِلَى وَقْتِ السَّحَرِ فَجَلَسُوا يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى. They elongated the salah until pre-dawn, then afterwards they sat down and sought Allah's forgiveness. Subhanallah al-Azim. طيب, ayah number 19. شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ, عفوا 18. شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Let me read it, if you don't mind. Okay. Truly, oh no, I'm sorry. Allah, hello, Ya Jama'ah, please. Allah bears witness that none has the right to be worshipped but He. And the angels and those having knowledge also give this witness. He always maintains His creation in justice. None has the right to be worshipped but He, the Almighty, the All-Wise. This is the fundamental ayah, by the way, in the Book of Allah. The Shaykh said, Rahimahullah, هذه أجل الشهادات الصادرة من الملك العظيم. This is among the most venerated and honorable testimonies issued by the great king, which is Allah Azza wa Jal. And وَمِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, and it is issued by the angels. وَأَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ, and the people of knowledge. And the people of Islamic knowledge, of course. عَلَىٰ أَجَلِّ مَشْهُودٍ عَلَيْهِ. And this testimony is what? Is bearing witness upon the most honorable testimony. Meaning they are testifying, the most honorable testifying among upon the most honorable fact, which is what? Tawheedullah wa qiyamihi bil qist. Allah being the only object of worship and His maintaining of the creation in justice. وذلك يتضمن الشهادة على جميع الشرع وجميع أحكام الجزاء. And this includes bearing witness to the whole law of Islam and all of the rulings thereof. فإن الشرع والدين أصله وقاعدته توحيد الله وإفراده بالعبودية. The essence of the religion and its fundamental principle is maintaining Allah's uniqueness and oneness, and singling Him out in worship. والاعتراف بانفراده بصفات العظمة والكبرياء والمجد والعز 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 والقدرة والجلال وبنعوت الجود والبر والرحمة والإحسان والجمال. الله المستعان. And the fact that Allah is the only one who is described with the following: greatness, arrogance. Again, the arrogance of Allah is not a blameworthy, obviously, character as it is with us. We as the children of Adam, being arrogant is unacceptable because we came from a sperm. But Allah the Creator, Sustainer, Provider, then arrogance is a befitting quality of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He's so great and there's nothing that can compete with Him azza wa jal. Wal-majd and glory, wal-izz, the might, wal-qudra, the omnipotence or the ability, wal-jalal, wa-bin'ut al-jud, and further with the qualities of generosity and goodness and mercy and beauty. All these belong to Allah azza wa jal alone. وبكماله المطلق الذي لا يحصي أحد من الخلق أن يحيط بشيء منه أو يبلغوه أو يبلغوه أو يصل إلى الثناء عليه. And with the ultimate perfection that none of the creation is able to encompass, let alone come close to or even be able to praise Allah accordingly. Yani Allah's qualities, the names and attributes are so vast, so beautiful that we are even unable to praise Him accordingly. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to say in his dua, لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. I'm unable to praise you in a manner befitting as you have praised yourself. This is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, unable to praise Allah with what is due to His majesty. Because Allah is greater than anything we can imagine. SubhanAllah. And what is the best you can say? Alhamdulillah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Yes, but Allah is far greater than that. You know, and these Allah taught us. We did not come up with them on our own. Subhanallah al-Azim. طيب. The Sheikh said, والعبادات الشرعية والمعاملات وتوابعها والأمر والنهي كله عدل وقسط لا ظلم فيه ولا جور بوجه من الوجوه. All of the acts of worship and all of the transactions and everything which follows thereof and every commandment and every prohibition, it is all justice. It is all the ultimate form of justice, that no oppression is found therein in any way, shape or form. There's no oppression in them in any way, shape or form. Everything which Allah legislated is the most suitable legislation for the children of Adam. It's just that the people don't understand. When Allah made the woman dress a certain way, right? And he commanded the men to lower their gaze. Then He prohibited relationships between men and women on the basis of friendship, right? And the rest of the rulings, what happened to the societies? People were chaste, there was chastity. People were not getting involved in fornication, no adultery, because all the doors which lead to that have been blocked by Islam. If a woman has to dress up, you can't see her. If she's a stranger, you can't talk to her, that's over. If you, when you see her, you're supposed to lower your gaze, alaykum salam. Same thing. You see what I'm saying? When the people didn't listen to Allah and they wanted to live life like they wanted, what are they having right now? Every 90 seconds a woman is raped in the United States of America. Every 90 seconds a woman, 90 seconds, every minute and a half a woman is raped. In colleges and universities, they have telephone booths in the middle of the campus Just in case a woman was on the verge of being raped, she'd be able to run and call the police. This is in Los Angeles. These are students, university students, educated people, but animalistic behavior. He sees a half-naked woman, he can't control himself. They do it. These things are happening on daily basis. Why? Because they didn't believe Allah and they didn't apply. So what is the most... Now, these wicked people have the nerve to turn around and say, why are you oppressing the women? Huh? Free the Muslim women. Why are you living this conservative life? Relax a little bit. So what, we can become like you? What do you want? You want us to be like you? Yani they have the problem and the disease and the calamities and they don't leave us alone. They still criticize us for what we have. Subhanallah, I mean, see how blinded they are? They should have realized that what we have is the only means of protection. Is the only means of protection. So Allah's deen is just. The woman is not oppressed in Islam. She's liberated with the hijab. With the hijab. But people don't understand. You see what I'm saying? So then that's the principle. If you don't understand something Allah legislated, accuse your intellect, don't accuse Allah's deen. Some people say, brother, but you know, stoning someone to death is a little, you know, too harsh, I think. I mean, do you really, we should cut off the hand of the thief? Say, brother, if you don't understand, there's something in your brain. There's a defect in your intellect. Don't be coming speaking about the deen of Allah. You know, is this really good? What do you mean, is this really good? Allah legislated that. You're going to question Allah's wisdom? You know Allah's creation more than Allah? Unbelievable, unbelievable. We don't know jack. One of us is even unable. If you give him 6 times 8, he has to, you know, take out the calculator from his phone. 6 times 8, over 40. And then he comes and says, but I don't think this ruling is good. Are you sure this is part of Islam? And you don't even know how to, you don't even know the math table, man. You know the multiplication table, you don't even, then you want to accuse the, it's amazing human beings. Muslims come with this kind of attitude. So you say, akhi, there's something wrong in your mukh here. Here, ta'ban. If you don't understand something, say, of course you don't say this to the brother, because he's going to run away in the opposite direction. You try to put it in the nicer words. I'm giving you the verbatim, or I'm giving you, not the verbatim, the juice. Now you put it in a very nice words, brother, you know, let me tell you something. Our mind is not, you know, vast enough to understand every intricate detail of the deed of Allah. Needless to say, you're all involved in da'wah, you should say. But I give you the bottom line. And then you can, you know, rephrase it in a way that is suitable for you. The bottom line is, we explain to the person, there's something wrong in our understanding, not in the deen of Allah. Never in the deen of Allah. Everything Allah legislated is ultimately suitable. If we understand, alhamdulillah. If you don't understand it, then we need to revisit our intellect. Now, بل هو في غاية الحكمة والإحكام. Rather, it is in the epitome of wisdom and إحكام. Also, it is firm and fixed. والجزاء على الأعمال الصالحة والسيئة كله قسط وعدل. And furthermore, recompense for good deeds and evil deeds is also a justice. Meaning you get rewarded for doing good with goodness and you are punished for doing evil. Also, this is justice. Ultimate justice from Allah Azza wa Jal. The Shaykh said further, قُلْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ أَكْبَرُ شَهَادَةً قُلِ اللَّهِ. Say, what is greater as a testimony? Say, Allah Azza wa Jal. Who is the greatest shahada? The shahada of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. فَتَوْحِيدُ اللَّهِ ودينه فتوحيد الله ودينه وجزاءه قد ثبت ثبوتا لا ريب فيه وهو أعظم الحقائق وأوضحها. So then, maintaining Allah's uniqueness and His religion and the reward which He has prepared for the people has been affirmed in a manner that contains no doubt. No doubt. And it is among the greatest of truths in this life. The most clear truth is the truth of Islam, the truth of the Tawheed, and the truth of recompense for our deeds on the Day of Judgment. وَقَدْ أَقَامَ اللَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْبَرَاهِينِ وَالْعَدِلَّةِ مَا لَا يُمْكِنُ إِحْصَاهُ وَعَدَّهُ. And Allah had established proofs and evidences for that which we cannot enumerate. It's so many ayat, so many narrations from the Prophet ﷺ, which we cannot even enumerate all of them. All of them alluding to the fact that everything which Allah has done is the ultimate justice. Allah being the only one deserving of worship is justice. His rulings, the penal codes in Islam are justice. The reward of good and the reward of evil is justice. Everything that Allah Azzawajal has legislated is the ultimate truth and the ultimate justice. This is the message of Islam which everyone on earth should adhere to, otherwise they will be among the wretched, and the next ayat will explain that in details. The Shaykh said, وَفِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ فَضِيلَةُ الْعِلْمِ وَالْعُلَمَاءِ لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ خَصَّهُمْ بِالذِّكْرِ مِنْ دُونِ الْبَشَرِ. In this ayah there is a virtue of knowledge. There is a virtue of knowledge and the people of knowledge, the possessors of knowledge, the carriers of knowledge, the scholars. The scholars. Because Allah specifically mentioned them and He didn't mention the rest of the creation. شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ. Three bore witness about the Tawheed of Allah. Allah Himself, Allah's angels and the people of knowledge. Not everybody else. Not everybody else. Allah made these three, Himself Azza wa Jal, the angels second, and then the people of knowledge in gravity. The greatest is Allah Azza wa Jal, then the Malaika, then the people of knowledge. So this is a specific virtue given to the people of knowledge. It does not apply to the rest of the creation. وَقَرَنَ شَهَادَتُهُمْ بِشَهَادَتِهِ وَشَهَادَتِ مَلَائِكَتِهِ وَجَعَلَ شَهَادَتِهِمْ مِنْ أَكْبَرِ الْأَدِلَّةِ وَالْبَرَاهِينِ عَلَى تَوْحِيدِهِ وَدِينِهِ وَجَزَائِهِ. So Allah mentioned their testimony in the context of His testimony and that of His angels. And He made their testimony among the biggest proofs and evidences about Allah's uniqueness and Allah's religion being Islam and Allah's reward for the good and for the evil. These people of knowledge are included in this very virtuous ayah. وَأَنَّهُ يَجِبُ عَلَى الْمُكَلَّفِينَ قَبُولَ هَذِهِ الشَّهَادَ الْعَادِلَ الصَّادِقَةَ. And it's incumbent on the people to accept this testimony. That's why Allah says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. It's an obligation on us to refer back to the scholars when it comes to the matters of the deen. Because Allah made them among those who bear witness. Allah purified them from above the seven heavens. The only pending item is verifying that they are from among the people of knowledge. You don't ask anyone. A da'iyah, someone involved in da'wah, is not a scholar. Pay attention, don't get it confused. If you come and ask myself or some of the du'at here, you are not considered to have asked a scholar. Unless this person has information or verdicts the scholars have given already and he's able to convey it to you. He will tell you, yes, I have read the fatwa, I have heard the fatwa from a scholar that you should do A, B, C, and then accordingly he tells you that. For him though, for us on our own to look into the matter and give you a verdict, no. You can't ask anyone. Someone must be a scholar, that means they know the Arabic language, they know the tafsir of the book of Allah, they know the narrations of the Prophet ﷺ, what is sound, what is inauthentic. They have knowledge of the balagha, the eloquence in the Arabic language. They have knowledge of fiqh, the principles of jurisprudence. It's a huge list of prerequisites that one must have. So we can say, okay, he's a scholar. We can actually bring this matter to him. And through his knowledge, he's able to look through the Quran and the Sunnah and give you an adequate ruling. Not that many people are able to do this. So be careful who you ask. Not anyone you ask is qualified to give you a fatwa. So we are to ask the people of knowledge, those the ones whom Allah spoke about, and they are a hujjah, they are a proof from the proofs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَفِي ضِمْنِ ذَلِكَ تَعْدِيلِهِمْ وَأَنَّ الْخَلْقَ تَبَعًا لَهُمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ هُمَ الْأَئِمَّةُ وَالْمَتْبُوعُونَ وَالْمُتَّبَعُونَ لَابُدْ. And included in that is the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned that adala, their justice, and that they are, that the rest of the people are followers of them. And they are the leaders and those who are followed. So the scholar is the one who is the leader and the people are to follow him, not the other way around. Because it may go the other way around. Some scholars turn the deen of Allah, like the Jews, into business. You want the ruling? Give me 100 riyals. I'll give you a ruling suitable for you. I'll issue a fatwa, notarize it for you, go. Yeah. People do this. A'udhu billah. They sell the deen of Allah. This is the quality of the Jews, by the way. That's what they used to do. They would hide the Torah. They wouldn't allow the average person to read the Torah. It's only for their scholars, the rabbis. And they will hide whatever was not suitable. They give ruling for money. You pay higher, you are the winner in the court. This is how they had it. So the imam is a leader. People follow him. He doesn't go and follow the people. What do you like? What kind of ruling you like? No problem. It's the other way around. You bring the matter to him, he gives you the ruling, whether you like it or not. Because this is an amana. It's a trust. It's the deen of Allah. And there's no compromise in the deen of Allah. You have to be very careful. Even if the truth hurts, the truth bites, the truth is sour, you have to swallow the truth. That's what it is. You have to like it. That's the bottom line. You know, this is the sunnah, the way of Allah and His creation. We cannot change the truth to make it suitable for people. It is not a thawb which you tailor. You know, I want it to be this long. And that. No. It comes in one size. Either you fit in or you don't fit. You're not going to change it according to what is suitable for you. This is from the means of misguidance. وَفِي هَذَا مِنَ الْفَضْلِ وَالشَّرَفُ عُلُوِ الْمَكَانَ مَا لَا يُقَادَرُ قَدْرَهُ. And in that, there's virtue and honor, that which we cannot even estimate. You know, and this praising of Allah Azza wa Jalla to the people of knowledge is something we cannot even put our fingers on. It's so huge that Allah made the shahada of the people of knowledge, ulul ilm, after his shahada and the shahada of the angels. Meaning these are the, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-ulama'u warathatul anbiya. وَإِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ لَمْ يُوَرَّثِ دِنَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا إِنَّمَا وَرَّثُ الْعِلْمِ فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ فَقَدْ أَخَذَ بِحَظٍ وَافِرًا كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He said the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. The prophets didn't leave behind any fulus, currency, you know. Dinar and dirham was back then. Today, riyals, dollars. They didn't leave money. They didn't leave a castle which we will live in. They left behind knowledge. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, so whoever acquires this knowledge has acquired an abundance of good. Whoever gets hold of this knowledge, he has gotten hold of an abundance of good. This is what the scholar, what the prophets left behind. So every scholar is an inheritor of the prophet. Prophets are Allah's chosen creation. That's a big deal. Meaning, in terms of hierarchy, you are related to the most honorable of people. Today, our look at the, if, for example, if somebody was married to the relative of the president of the country, it's like a big deal. You know? Because the higher he is, the closer he is to those who are high in status, the more his situation would be better. Oh yeah, well, my sister is married to the, you know, the son of the president. You know? So it's like, okay, now it's a big deal. This is a human perception. But now look at it from the other angle. When you get involved with knowledge, you are actually becoming connected. There's connection with the prophets. Whoa, the prophets. That's a big deal. So it's a very, you know, lofty situation or status which Allah has granted us. Today, seeking knowledge has become quite easy. As you can see, we're sitting in an air-conditioned room. Everybody has a nice chair, has a handle. You know, you can write and everything. Back then, it was a little tough. People will be sitting under a tree in the extreme heat, and if they were sitting in a masjid, there was no air condition, no fan, and you know, they were writing with maybe ink, you know, and papers of leaves, papers made out of leaves, tree leaves. Totally different situation. And they acquired this knowledge, they memorized it. Today, Allah musta'an, we can hardly memorize a couple of ayat to give da'wah. You know, we've been saying the same ayat maybe for 2 years now, and still some of us are unable to quote an ayah or two, a hadith or two to give da'wah to a non-Muslim. See how we're falling short? So we need to, you know, wake up a little bit and get our act together. So Allah, we need to spend some time trying to learn the deen of Allah as much as we can. Which leads us to the next fundamental ayah. إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَمَا اخْتَلَفَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْعِلْمُ بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. Ayah number 19. Verily, truly, the religion with Allah is Islam. Those who were given the scripture, the Jews and the Christians, did not differ except out of mutual jealousy after knowledge had come to them. And whoever disbelieves in the ayat of Allah, then surely Allah is swift in calling to account. يخبر تعالى أن الدين عند الله أي الدين الذي لا دين لله سواه ولا مقبول غيره هو الإسلام. Allah informs us that the religion with which there is no other religion with Allah, nor would Allah accept anything but that religion, is Islam. If you die as a Christian, you go into hell. If you die as a Hindu, you go into hell. If you die as a Buddhist, you go into hell. If you die as an atheist, agnostic, you go into hell. If you die as anything but Islam, after the message has been delivered, you are going to hell for eternity. Never, ever coming out. Are we clear on that? There's only one religion. Very important. Very important, because in da'wah, when you give da'wah to the non-Muslims, they come up with very funky, you know, statements. For example, the average response from a Christian is, you believe in your Allah, I believe in my Jesus, and, you know, it's all good. You see? I don't have to make you become a Christian, and you don't have to make me become a Muslim. Each can keep his own belief system, no problem, as long as what? As long as you're a good person, and you treat your neighbors nicely, that's it. God loves you, you love God, that's it. How many times have you heard this? I have heard this maybe hundreds of times. Just be good. Be good and love God. Once they say that, say, okay, no problem. Define God. Define God. Well, they will say God, Jesus, or God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Say, okay, that's your God. Now if I bring a Buddhist and ask him about his God, he will tell me Buddha. And if I bring a Hindu, he will tell me, you know, Vishnu or Krishna or whatever these gods that they have. So now when you say love God, which God are we loving? My God is not like your God now. So how can we claim that as long as you love a God, you will be entering his paradise when we don't agree who the God is? How many gods are there? Is there one with his own paradise for the Muslims? One with his own paradise for the Christians? No one will say that. They must agree that there's only one God, one paradise. We don't agree about the definition. How is it possible that we will both be going to him? You see what I'm saying? Yani, if give you a worldly example. You want to go to a particular destination, okay? And you have a misconception about the location. I tell you we're going to the Corniche. And to you, the only Corniche you know is in Mecca. Assuming there's a Corniche in Mecca. Okay, I don't know if there's a Corniche in Mecca. But the bottom line is, my concept of the Corniche is the one at the end of Sharia Palestine. Your concept of the Corniche is the one in Mecca. Now we both call it Corniche. But if I say I will meet you there, at the Corniche, and you go to Mecca, I go to Palestine, will we ever meet?
No.
But we both believe in the Corniche. So it's impossible to go to the same destination when we don't agree about the essence. We don't agree who this destination is. You have a God which doesn't seem to be very compatible with my God. We don't have a divisible God who can become a father, then he becomes a son, then he's a Holy Ghost at some time, you know, guiding the people, supposedly guiding the people to become gay. Yes, some Christians will tell you the Holy Ghost guides me and I love men. You know, so what? The Holy Ghost is guiding you to be a homosexual? That's amazing. This in the Bible, this is an abomination unto the Lord. So, but you know, he will tell you, another Christian will tell you, the Holy Ghost is guiding me and telling me that homosexuality is a sickness. And both will tell you they're being guided by the Holy Ghost. Who's being guided by the Holy Ghost? They're being guided by who? By Shaitan, man. He takes him whichever direction he wants and they say that this is the Holy Ghost. Oh, the Holy Ghost came into my life. Oh, I had a born again experience. They start speaking, you know, Chinese, Rasul Salam. Say, okay, now, you know, I know God. All this is from the devils, man. Magicians do a lot of stuff, by the way. We believe in that, yes.
It's just not the Spirit, not Ghost of Shaitan.
Hey, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, I mean the terminology may differ, but you see what I'm aiming for? Hey, Jazakallah khairan. You see what I'm aiming for? I don't know what I'm aiming for anymore. What was I saying? The bottom line is, the Kanta Aywa, when you give in dawah then, you must be careful of this ideology. You keep your religion, I keep mine, mafi mushkila. Don't try to, I respect you, you respect my religion, I respect yours. No. There's no such thing. I don't respect disbelievers. I'm sorry. I don't respect someone who says that Allah has a son. I cannot respect your belief system. I will respect you by not beating you with my shoes, because you know I'm giving you dawah. But to respect what you believe, I don't think so. And you turn the table, you say, okay, you say that you should respect my religion, I respect yours. They will say, yes, yes. Say, okay, if I brought a fire worshipper or a Satan worshipper who told you that Jesus is, you know, and he blasphemed, you respect his religion? You respect his religion, someone who curses Jesus? They will not say yes. And if they said yes, say, how can you respect someone who curses your God? See, every time they give you this, you know, this, what they call it, this generic default answer, you are able to refute it. They say that, respect, say then, do you respect someone who disrespects your religion? Once they say no, then say, we have the same feeling, man. You know, I cannot respect the concept of Allah being given equals, people who are co-eternal, co-existent with Him, and in the rest of the scenario. So this is how you give da'wah to these people. There's one religion, there's one way to paradise. And you can go to onewaytoparadise.net and check out more of that information. That's an advertisement for the website. One way to paradise only. There's no multiple ways. One religion, one God, one message, which is one paradise. That's it. Either you accept or you reject. There's no third option. The Shaykh said, وَهُوَ الْإِنْقِيَادُ لِلَّهِ وَحْدَهُ ظَاهِرًا وَبَاطِنًا بِمَا شَرَعَهُ عَلَى أَلْسِنَةِ رُسُلِهِ. Islam is submitting to Allah alone, inwardly and outwardly, or outwardly and inwardly, per what He had legislated upon the tongues of His messengers. Per the revelation He gave to the messengers, you submit to that inwardly and outwardly, you are then a Muslim, a submitter. Someone who is submitting to Allah. قال تعالى وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. يا جماعة, everybody should know this ayah. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Whosoever desires a religion other than Islam, it will never be accepted of him or them, and in the life to come they will be among the losers. This is a fundamental ayah for da'wah. You have to tell this to the non-Muslim. Allah says in the Quran, He will not accept anything else. He will not, and he will be a loser in the life to come. فَمَنْ دَانَ بِغَيْرِ دِينِ الْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ لَمْ يَدِنْ لِلَّهِ حَقِيقَةً لِأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَسْلُقِ الطَّرِيقِ الَّذِي شَرَعَهُ عَلَى أَلْسِنَةِ رُسُلِهِ. So whoever is upon a religion other than Islam, he is in fact upon no religion in truth, because he did not travel upon the path which Allah had legislated upon the tongues of His messengers. May Allah send His peace and blessings upon them. ثم أخبر تعالى أن أهل الكتاب يعلمون ذلك وإنما اختلفوا فانحرفوا عنه عنادا وبغيا. Then Allah informed us that the people of the book, they knew that, but they only turned away out of stubbornness and transgression. وإلا فقد جاءهم العلم المقتضي لعدم الاختلاف الموجب للزوم الدين الحقيقي. Otherwise, they have received information which does away with differing and which necessitates that they follow the true religion. Specifically the Jews and the Christians, who know in their book the prophecies concerning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in Deuteronomy chapter 18 verse 18, and other, even in the New Testament, in the book of Solomon, the Songs of Solomon, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was mentioned by name in the Hebrew, Muhammadin, by name. But then of course in English they call him the altogether lovely. You can't translate someone's name. But they translated the name in order to misguide the people. They know that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was mentioned in their books. This is why when they dealt with the Kisra, right? Now the Heraclius, when Sufyan spoke to him and he questioned him about the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he told him at the end, if he were near me, I would wash his feet. Because he knew that this was mentioned in their scriptures. But today, you know, the priests and the rabbis and these people, they deliberately hide this information from the masses because they are in a position where they're making money or they're having some other form of entertainment. They're not willing to lose it by telling the people the truth, so they continue to hide it. And the people love it because everybody's just, you know, drowned in following their desires. Even when the truth becomes clear to them, they still ignore it and they follow the ways of their, you know, religion, even though they know that it is based on falsehood. So this is the condition of the children of Adam. Allahu musta'an. ثُمَّ لَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مُحَمَّدٌ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَرِفُوهُ حَقَّ الْمَعْرِفَةِ. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to them, they knew him. They knew him very well. ولكن الحسد والبغي والكفر بآيات الله هي التي صدتهم عن اتباع الحق. But envy, transgression, and disbelief in the ayat of Allah is what prevented them from following the truth. ومن يكفر بآيات الله فإن الله سريع الحساب. And whoever disbelieves in the ayat of Allah, then verily Allah is swift in bringing people to account. أي فلينتظروا ذلك فإنه آت وسيجزيهم الله بما كانوا يعملون. So let them wait, because verily that day shall come, and Allah then will reckon them or recompense them per the actions that they used to do. Inshallah ta'ala, if we remain alive, we'll be dealing with ayah number 20 next week, a very fundamental ayah in da'wah as well. We ask Allah to give us success and understanding of the deen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.